And a good afternoon to you. Thank you for being on board. Glad to have you with us here on a Tuesday afternoon. Been a nice day. 48 degrees currently. Asheville says 52. Yeah, I've been pretty nice. And we've been a lot of talk about the weekend. I don't think so. I don't think it's gonna amount to much. Okay, so well, I may be wrong, but I'll tell you why in just a minute. Let's take a look at the traffic. All right, and so traffic still, for the past couple of weeks, traffic's just not been much at all, and not complaining, but just not a lot to talk about. You've got your normal slowdown around 240 in Asheville, and then you've got a little bit on the bridge today. Coming west, like Old Smoky Park, right there, it's backed up a little bit there at the red light at Sam's. Other than that, everything seems to be in pretty good order. I don't see a whole lot of issues. All your secondaries, everybody seems fine. I've been to Asheville today, and yeah, everything seems to be moving fine. No problems that I can see. And yesterday we talked about that that problem down in Saluda. Found out today on the news it was tractor trailer versus car. Yeah, and if we look at Spartanburg right quick, everybody looks like they're behaving themselves, and really not a lot going on in Asheville or in Greenville. Greenville, you're slow down around Highway 14 on south on 85, but outside that, we're in pretty good shape, pretty good condition. All right, let's move to the radar right quick, and we have a clear radar picture in the southeast right now. No issues, nothing much to talk about in that regard. But now, that's not to say that there's not issues overall. Yeah, there are. And the big issue right now is in the central United States. It's kind of in the southern Rockies. And winter storm warnings and all sorts of Dodge City, 4 inches. I'm just looking at some reports here. Wichita, Kansas, moderate snow, 1.5 inches. Yeah, and there's a bunch more with it. There's a pretty good size little storm, a little disturbance there. Look at that. Great day. Goodland, good land. And I don't even know what state that's in. Is that Kansas? Probably. They are reporting 21 inches. No wonder they're excited. That would explain it, huh? Well, here's another one, 15 inches. So, yeah, that's not unheard of, is it? Okay, well, I was a little shocked with that. There's an 18-inch. Gracious. Okay, so this is out in the Central Plains, and it would be kind of south and west of Kansas City. So it is in Kansas. Well, that system... it's a pretty good size system, and it's dropping down, and everybody's been talking about this could be the big one. And yeah, it could have been, but there's just a couple of things I don't think are going to work. Let me give you what I'm talking about. If I go to the Canadian border, on the Canadian border right now, it is, well, I don't even have to go that far north. Let's go to Minneapolis, just to west of Minneapolis. There's 8 below 0. There's 7 below 0. Fargo, North Dakota is at 7 below. That's the current. Yeah. Robertson Field in the northern part of Wisconsin, they are 9 below. Now, this is that polar plunge that was supposed to come all the way down to us. It is going to get cold, and we're going to have some of the coldest nights so far this year. But the timing of it and the snow not going to work out, doesn't look like. See, in the south here, we're in the 50s. You go, across the Mississippi, and, of course, they're in freezing temperatures at least. We're snowing some of the hardest right now. It's 18 degrees in Garden City. 18 degrees and heavy snow, visibility's down to a 0.5 mile. And we're seeing that, all over that section. But I don't think they're going to get here at the same time. And here's Here's what the National Weather Service is saying. Been following them and the, of course, our DTN Weather Service, that's a paid weather service, that's private meteorologists. And then we have the National Weather Service, which we are a reporting station for. And we're also a reporting station for the National Climatic Data Center. So we report to them. And then, of course, we use the Weather Channel and other sources. Well, different groups follow different models, and they don't always agree on the forecast. That's been the case this week. National Weather Service has played it real conservative all week long. At one point, they weren't even predicting, they were predicting sunshine. Well, they have now given in that it's not going to be sunshine, but it's not going to be a big winter storm, or at least that's what they're saying, okay? So let me read it to you exactly as they give it to us. Partly cloudy, low around 25 tonight, a north wind 5 to 7. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 44, the northeast wind 6 to 8. Tomorrow night, mostly clear, low around 20, northeast wind 5 to 7, becoming calm in the evening. Thursday, sunny, high 45, calm wind becoming south-southeast around 5 in the afternoon. Thursday night, mostly cloudy, low around 26, south wind 5 mile an hour becoming calm in the evening. Here's where it starts getting interesting. On Friday, a chance of rain between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m., and then a chance of showers after 3 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 43, so it's going to be a cold rain. The chance of precipitation, though, is only 40%. By Friday night, a chance of rain and snow showers before 8 p.m., and then a chance of snow showers between 8 p.m. and 11 p.m., partly cloudy with a low around 15. Chance precipitation 50%. So you see where I'm coming from? Yeah, we're going to be. And the other part of it is there's not that much precipitation in this. I've tried to look at it with the I've tried to see what the total moisture in it. It's just there's just not that much moisture in this thing. Also, let me just say it this way. This is, I would call it, well, at least for us, an I-40 storm, which simply means that it's going to come in high. And so, yeah, it's not going to sink down as low as they first thought it would. It had every opportunity to, but I don't think it's going to. And I don't think the two are going to arrive at the same time. But now I will say this, once the front passes and the cold air does get here, 15 Friday night, the high Saturday's 29, Saturday night 14. We do break freezing by Sunday, 41, but we're back to 22 on Sunday night. Now, just a quick word. When you have temperatures like this, so when you have 15 and then you have 29, so that's not getting above freezing, then you go back to 14. You're at the end of your window, typically, about pipes freezing. In other words, it's been my experience that 24 hours below freezing, you're okay. 36 hours below freezing, when you get to 48 hours below freezing, it's going to freeze, if it's subject to freeze. You see what I'm saying? By the third day, it's froze. So if you got anything that is subject to it, you say, well, every time it gets cold, my water freezes under my house. Get something under there and get it to where the air don't get to it. Wrap it up, do something to it, put a light bulb on it, and don't put an LED light bulb. They don't put out heat, okay? Get an old-timey light bulb and put on it, yeah. And so we moderate back out 40s Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And the temperatures, the nighttime lows moderate, 22 and 25. About normal for this time of the year, but we get that, just that little weekend plunge, and it's not going to be as cold as they thought. They thought we'd be in the single digits. Didn't happen. They thought maybe this front would come in at the same time. We could get a big one. Didn't happen. So, and by the way, the chance of snow is greater along the Tennessee line. Closer you are to the Smokies, the greater your chance of snow is. So it's coming I-40, so anything, Wolf Laurel Ski Resort's going to catch it. You know, the Northern Mountains are going to get it. But the southern mountains, we don't ever get big snows that come in on out of Tennessee. Rarely. I call them an I-40 storm. Just, you're not going to see a lot out of that one. I-20 storm, that's the big one for us. An I-10 storm, they go under us like last weekend. There's more snow in Charleston this past weekend. There wasn't hardly anything here. I mean, it blew snow. But no, there was measurable snowfall. All over the upstate, or the lower country of South Carolina, the low country. Yeah, it's still on the ground, by the way. Had a call. It's still on the ground. So, big one? Nah, probably not. Keep watching, though. We got rain several days next week from the looks of it. And then next weekend, not this weekend, but the next, maybe. It might be something there. We're on that schedule. About every 6 or 7 days, we're seeing something come down the pike, come down the Rockies. And those are the ones that give us the worst time. The 25th day of January, the listener's portion today, is being brought to you. And we appreciate so very much our sponsors today, Kathy Miller, Belinda McCall, and Herman McCall, in honor of Reverend Vess and Barbara McCall on their 65th wedding anniversary. They're so thankful for the most godly, wonderful, and loving parents that the Lord blessed them with. And we appreciate very much Brother Vess and Miss Barbara, and 65 years, way to go. God bless you. And we appreciate Kathy and Belinda and Herman. Thank you for standing with us here at Anchor Broadcasting. The network is being sponsored by the Jack Queen family, and it's in loving memory of Olsa Queen. Thank you. God bless you. We appreciate that very, very much. In our 40 days of prayer, each day we take a different topic to pray about. And today, on the 33rd day till Share-a-thon, pray for our kitchen workers and pray the Lord will help them. Happy birthday today to Mr. Alex Mullinax from Anchor. Congratulations. D. Allison, and also Rich Morales from Anchor. Congratulations here from the team at Anchor Broadcasting. God bless you. And we're glad to have folks visiting with us this afternoon from Akron, Augusta, Brandon, Costa Mesa, Fort Mill, Franklin, Greenville, Hendersonville, Houston, Joplin, Kies, Germany, Lancaster, Lexington, Logan, Marion, Maryville, Murphy, Nassau, Peoria, Plymouth, Rock Hill, Silva, Europe, also Weaverville, and West Chicago. Glad to have all of you with us here this afternoon. And online with us today on our visual radio, Kathy in Mills River, Akbar in Pakistan, Joel in the Philippines, Joyce in Kentucky, Cricket in Little River, Ann in Henderson County, Dave in the Philippines, and Joyce in Dexter, Kentucky. All right, thank you. 25 for a high tomorrow. What about that? Gracious. All right, thank you. And not sure what this is all about, but I just got this sent in by way of traffic, and it says apparently it's near the Conestee main gate, a motor vehicle accident. A truck apparently slipped off the road, unknown PI, in the curve after the straightaway past the main gate at Conestee. Okay? All right. And so, all right, let me take some text here right quick. 577-1296. God bless Israel, Pastor Barton and Anchor Broadcasting. Thank you. 4412. Thank you. Wayne says, not that anyone wants to discuss COVID, but what do you think about the Biden administration pulling the emergency use authorization for the monoclonal antibody treatment? And it says, has it not been proven to be effective? And let me just give you what I've heard. Every nurse that I've talked to says that has been their number one defense. So I may be wrong, but every nurse and everybody that I've talked to, and we've got several that we discuss things with, they are telling us what we've been told is that that was one of the best things. So I could not, I have no idea why they would pull that. I really don't. I have no idea. Let me do this. I want to get some folks' names on this afternoon. And because I don't have permission to use full names, I'll just use first names, okay? I'd ask you to pray for a gentleman named Jacob. He is in very, very serious condition with COVID pneumonia. And asking God's people to please, please, please pray that God will intervene. I'll also ask you to pray for Becky. She is in a very similar situation, probably around the same age, not old. These are young people. And you somebody said, well, how do you determine young people? Younger than I am, okay? And so everybody's younger than I am, okay? So please remember these two. They are both very, very serious, and they're needing God to intervene in a very definite way. I also ask you to pray for Ricky in the hospital. I understand he's doing a little better, but he's COVID pneumonia. I ask you to pray for a missionary. He thought he was over it, and he suddenly things have turned for the worse. That happens. His oxygen tanked yesterday, and this is a brick wall that people are hitting. And what's interesting is it's about 10 days when they hit it. And people have died. As a matter of fact, many people have died. They got over it, they were doing great, and then boom. And yeah, it's hard to deal with. It's hard to explain. It really is. And so I've got a checklist that I check people off when they're doing better, and I had already checked that missionary brother off, and I got to take him out of the check one and put him back in the pray hard list, okay? Also a pastor, please remember him, named Jimmy, having a tough time. Another pastor by the name of Wayne, please remember him. And then we've got a number of folks that have not, they can't shake it, they can't get over it, and having a terrible time. Ask you to pray for the Glenn family, okay? The Glenn family, I want you to remember them. And they have it, and so... Yeah, I've mentioned Jacob, and I got a phone call today, and we've tried to pray. I tried to pray for daylight this morning. I've been trying to pray for him. God is, God controls the every breath that we breathe. We know that, but we're just asking God to intervene in these lives if it be his will. And so we never know, but we're asking for God to intervene on behalf of these folks, okay? On behalf of these folks. And I know there's a whole lot more that are sick. I know they are. And one of the things I just mentioned to you, some of the home treatments, for whatever reason, they're just not having the effect now, and we don't know why. Ivermectin, it's just not giving results, particularly against Omicron. And then the other one is, what's the malaria, you took it? Hydrochloroquine. It's also not doing a very good job. And again, we don't know why. It's just not. So, and that again is according to folks who have been tracking this and keeping up with it. We've got several doctors that work with us, and then I can call and ask questions. And then we also have people who taught doctors. Who taunt doctors. And then we also have people who are very high up in the nursing profession and in a variety of different places, and then people who work as RNs and other things actively among you know, they're actually in the trenches with this thing. And, you know, I know what you read, but I've always considered an eyewitness account of something more powerful than what I read. And so I always give more weight to an eyewitness. I mean, I got people I know and trust, and when they tell me something, and especially when multiple people who don't talk to each other tell me the same thing, then, you know, the scripture says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let it be confirmed. And so, you know, so many of these things, it's just somebody writing, you know, especially these ads that they got, you know, you click on it and then you got to see an ad, and they put these ads in between the paragraphs and they string you out for 67 pages, you know, and it's all said and done. They don't tell you anything. You know what I'm talking about. Everybody gets those. Well, it is a, you know, it is a, I guess what I'm trying to say is that, you know, some things that you read can have truth to them. Some of them are, you know, and they're in different situations, different instances. I've got somebody testifying now, said hydrochloroquine, ivermectin cured them at Christmas before Christmas. But I've also got people that have on a broader scale that are saying they're giving it, they're still using it, but it's not having the effect that it used to have. It's not being as effective, and I don't know why. Just like everybody said, well, this Omicron doesn't kill you, and yet we've got people struggling for life. And you say, well, it wasn't Omicron that got them. Well, it may not be. It may be Delta still. It may be, who knows? I don't know. But what I'm saying is this is the one disease that it's been very, very difficult to be dogmatic about, because personally, I believe it's altered. I believe it's man-made. And I believe that's why it does not respond the way that it should. That's why I think that it does not have the typical predictability that it would have, you know, naturally occurring things. And, you know, just saying that it is, I put it this way, it has made fools out of a lot of experts. And so I don't know. I read a report coming out of Israel, and I do trust some of what Israel reports. Now, remember that they have media just like we do, and the media will basically report anything over there, just like it does here. But when they give you chapter and verse, in other words, they tell you this hospital and this study and this and this and this, when they do that, I give it a little higher credentials. One virologist was saying that they have been testing people that have had Omicron, and they test them, of course, it's been so recent, they're testing them just after they have it. But they're saying that your antibodies from having Omicron are out the roof higher than they saw for people having Delta or having Wuhan, which was the first one. And I don't know why, because the symptoms seem to be less in many people, but yet they say that it's better. Change subject. I'm gonna get off that. All right, let's change subject. Didn't know this till last night. We had a woman call us and said she needed to go to, and she named a health place that she needed to go to, a place that does health care. Need a ride. And so we said, okay. And she said, okay, this is fine. Drop me off right here. Okay. And so we did. And then she said, can you take me back home? And I don't know if she called us or give us a time. I think she said, pick me up right back here at this time, but I'm not sure. So our guys went back to Brevard, pulled up, picked her up. And once she got in the truck, it was obvious she may have been to the doctor, but she decided to go to the ABC store, and she was drunk. And we took her home. But there's a possibility she never went to the doctor. there's a possibility that she had us, because the ABC store's on the opposite block, we're right across from each other. It's a possibility that she hitched a ride, called us, that she had to go to the doctor, and called us, and we took her to the ABC store. And I just want to tell you that that was never our intention. And to use the church's resources and the church's money to go get you liquor is a pretty bold thing. And so I'll just leave it at that. But rest assured, when she does need to go to the doctor, she'll need to get somebody else. Because we're just simply, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Okay, so she'll have to find some other way if she does need to go to the doctor in the future, because we won't do that again. I cannot expend the trust that God's people have placed in us to carry people back and forth from to the liquor store. And I'm very ashamed that that happened. But it did happen. Or at least it apparently happened. She may have went to the doctor and to the liquor store, but I'm pretty sure the doctor didn't tell her to go get drunk. Okay, I'm pretty sure that that's the... And she was notably drinking when she got back in the truck. So, yeah. Anyway, all right. Well, we don't have time for a lot else, but you've heard all about Bitcoin and all these cryptocurrencies. You've heard all about that. Well, the Federal Reserve has released a review of the potential of the central bank of the U.S. releasing a digital currency, or called CBDC, Central Bank Digital Currency. And a lot of people believe this is the first step in the United States issuing a digital currency. And I am so against it. I can't even tell you how far against it I am. But it seems to be the direction we're going. But I want to just share this with you, okay? If they do that, and if the dollar goes digital, number one, we will stop being the reserve currency of the world, and which is going to hurt greatly. China's already been trying to develop a digital yuan, the UK has been trying to develop a digital pound, and they call it Britcoin. New Zealand, Australia, South Africa, Malaysia, they're all working on it. But let me just share this with you. If you got paid in digital currency, did you know that digital currency, if they did that, it can be restricted? In other words, if you work for Coca-Cola and you got your Coca-Cola paycheck, they could fix it so that you couldn't buy Pepsi with your paycheck. With your digital currency, you couldn't buy, because you can't buy, you'd have to sign an agreement. You wouldn't buy the competitor's product, and they could fix it where you wouldn't be able to buy Pepsi. But let me tell you what else you could do. If you work for the city of New York, they could fix it where you couldn't eat at fast food restaurants. Try to protect your health, where you couldn't buy tobacco. They'll always buy liquor, but they'll fix it where you couldn't buy tobacco. They'll fix it where you couldn't. I mean, it's within their means. And this is another way to force society into these set molds. Crypto, somebody says it's complete anonymity. Crypto is complete anonymity. Not when the government issues it. As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. When the government issues it, they know every penny, everything you spend, everywhere you spend it, they know everything. So it's not going to happen. It's happening in Venezuela. They're not even printing money now. They're putting it on a card. Got to go. Let's pray for these in bad shape this afternoon. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, your will be done. Lord, we pray for your help, your divine intervention in these lives, Lord, that are fleeting. And Lord, we pray that you'd help them. Pray with these families. God, intervene. Be with our country and the situation we're in this world. In Christ's name, amen.